All right, let's pray together. Father, I just pray right now, because we've been blessed in so many ways already, that you'll just hide me behind the cross, and that you'll share through me the word you want for us today. May it not be words that we hear, but words we apply. May we truly be as James calls us to be, not hearers only, but doers of the word. Amen. Well, like many of you, I want you to imagine for a moment that you picked up the morning paper. Splashed across the headline is the announcement of the passing of a great man of our saint. It goes through and it tells all of the wonderful things, and it shares some of his obituary, and then you have to turn to the obituaries, and there you just see all of the marvelous things he did as a person of wealth and influence. You see national awards and state awards and local awards and work accomplishments and all the people that work for him, and you see college degrees. He had many of those, and honorary this and honorary that. You continue turning and you get to the back and you see a name that you're familiar with, but it's not like the other name. This one's not splashed across the headlines. National news or state news or local news won't even mention this one at all. You read and you see the family details and the funeral details, and you read about the funeral, that he was a lifelong member of so-and-so Baptist Church, that he served and taught and given. You close the paper and you begin to wonder to yourself, one known for his earthly titles, the other one recognized obscurely for his powerful Christian testimony. This morning, I want to bring a message called A Title or a Testimony. I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, to the 18th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. Now, for those of you that might be guests, we're going to stand in just a moment, and I'm going to read some passages. I want you to find Luke. I want to give you time to do that. But I also want you to find Ephesians. So you're going to have to put your finger in there. Luke 18, beginning at verse 18. And then we're going to read Ephesians 6, verses 21 following. When we get there, we read in just a moment, we're going to be looking at two individuals who are named in the Bible. One is known for his title. The other is known for his testimony. In Luke 18, beginning at verse 18, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able, Jesus is in a conversation, and it says, a ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Jesus then says to him, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And honor your father and your mother. In verse 21, he gives an answer I'm not sure I could give. He says, all of these things I have kept from my youth. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty arrogant statement that he followed all of the commandments since as a young man. When Jesus heard, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Interesting comment here. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Now we want to switch over. That's the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler in Ephesians, and now we're going to Ephesians 6. In Luke, asked Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, and he basically goes, I can't do that, or I won't do that. Now, the Bible points out, we don't know his name, but he's known as the rich young ruler. Beginning at verse 21, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is in a Roman prison, and he's writing to the churches to encourage them. Now, but listen to who he mentions. He says, but that you also may know about my circumstances and how I'm doing, Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. I'd ask you to be seated. Now, for those of you that have been in church long or have heard much preaching, if I were to ask you about your Bible, have you ever heard of the rich young ruler? Most of us would vaguely or maybe well know the story there. We could raise our hand and say, yes, we've heard that. But if I were to ask you today, have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Tychius? Probably like most of us and like me, until the Lord led me to the passage and began to study, I'd go, no. I'm sure he's in there somewhere. Maybe he's in the begots, where so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Obscurely, if you read through Ephesians, you have such wonderful things about parents and marriage and about spiritual warfare that most of us don't get to the end of the book. And if we do, we just kind of blow off Tychius. But what we have here are two individuals. One is known for eternity because of his title, the rich young ruler. The other is known for his testimony. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about the rich young ruler except that he went away sad because he couldn't fulfill what Jesus had asked him to do. But it tells us a great deal in just a few verses about the fellow by the name of Tychius. First of all, we see that he was selfless in that it says he is a beloved brother. Here is a man who is ministering to the Apostle Paul when Paul is in prison. I don't know about you, I haven't done a whole lot of prison ministry, and it's not the most fun thing in the world to do. It wouldn't be number one on most people's list, but it says of Tychius that he is serving Paul when Paul is in prison. And there are times, the times are tough. Paul says, I am an apostle in chains. It's not easy. It's not country club prison today. But he's there. And serving him meant that he probably had to bring him food. He had to bring him changes of clothes. He may have had to help Paul beg. There's no telling what he did. But we see that he was selfless. The second thing we see, he was a faithful minister. He was steadfast in the Lord. He had ministered to Paul. Paul, in fact, says that. The beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. So we see he was steadfast. The third thing we see is he was sent. Paul says to Tychius, look, Tychius, I need to encourage one of the churches I started. I need you to go to Ephesus for me because I can't go. And I need you to take this letter and I need you to tell them that I'm okay. You know, it's one thing to minister to somebody, but when they really begin to say, well, now I need you to go the next step. Ministry sometimes can be easy. It can be easy inside the church. It usually is. But when it has to get out there in the world, when I got to spend some of my money or my time or my effort, Tychius went. And what did he do? He took the message of the Apostle Paul to Ephesus. And so we see he was sensitive. We see he was sensitive. He was sensitive to Paul's needs. He said, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. I got the opportunity this week, as part of
my call, it's not my responsibility to spend some time with some of our folk. Boyd and I got to talk about bear hunting. R.H. and I got to talk, Lucy and I got to talk about all kind of things. And it was a good time. And what came out of that in getting to know them a little better, and I'll get to know many of you a little better, is I didn't hear any of them talk about all the wonderful things they've done. In fact, in both instances, we were talking more about the church and about the Lord than we were about ourselves. A testimony. Here are two biblical characters. Great contrast. One has it all. I mean, he's got it all. He says, look, I've kept every command. I'm doing well. He's rich. And all Jesus says to him is, okay, let me see where your heart really is. Now, let me tell you this, that there's nothing wrong. Let me go on and say there's nothing wrong with having some money or being wealthy. That wasn't the problem. Jesus didn't tell every wealthy person, go sell everything you got. That's not what the story's about. Jesus knew that the heart of the rich man was in his riches and not in Christ and serving others. Because he asked him to do exactly what Zacchaeus did. So we have one who is known for his title and another one who is known for his testimony. I want to ask you this morning, what are you living for? I like to do this with young people because I remember I'm still old enough or young enough to remember being young. I have great aspirations and great dreams. You ask them nowadays, well, I want to be rich. You know, I want to be rich. That's okay. I want to ask those of us that are believers, are you living for the accumulation of earthly titles? Is that what you want to be remembered for? Because I want to tell you, one of these days, they're going to roll you down front, either at the funeral home, if you're lucky enough, maybe at the church. The preacher's going to get up and say all kind of things about you, and if the family paid him well, he'll tell the truth. No, I'm just kidding there, buddy. Then they're going to go home and they're going to put your body in the ground. Maybe it's over here. Maybe it's somewhere else. And they're going to go home. And this seems crap. Made somebody mad the last time I mentioned this. But it's true. They're going to go home and eat fried chicken, cake, and potato salad. Aren't they? And as they sit around the table those days after your passing, what are they going to be talking about? They're going to be talking about all your earthly titles. Well, he was president of so-and-so, and he did so-and-so, and she was recognized for this, and she was recognized for that. Maybe they will. Or will they sit around the table? Just around maybe even the funeral home. And they'll talk about how you impacted them for the kingdom of God. You see, here in the Bible, we have the story of the rich young ruler, and he missed it. I don't think I'll see him in glory unless somewhere along the way he finally caught on. But I guarantee you this, when I get there, when this world truly is no longer my home, I want to meet Zacchaeus. I want to tell you, he's there. He's there with Paul and with Peter and with John and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and the rest of them. And he's just as important. And you know what he's known for? None of his titles. Just his testimony. A testimony that the... Listen, when you impact the life of the Apostle Paul that he writes about you, you got a testimony. Throughout the Bible, I want to spend just a few more minutes talking about people who had titles and some that had testimonies. Potiphar's wife. Remember Potiphar's wife? Potiphar, the ruler of the Egyptian jail and military area. The one that decided Joseph was pretty good looking. Potiphar's wife, she had some titles. But boy, Joseph had a testimony. Then there's Pharaoh. I am the Pharaoh. I love the movie, The Ten Commandments. So let it be written. So let it be done.
I love watching that movie. I try that at home, and I just get laughed at.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Potiphar had a
wife, had a title. Joseph, a testimony.
Pharaoh had a title. God of all that I command. Oh, but Moses. Moses had a testimony. The king of Jericho had a title, a city, oldest city on earth, city had never been taken. But ooh, what about Joshua and all those Israelites? Boy, did they have a testimony. Eli, the priest, the high priest, had a title. A young boy brought there by Hannah, his mama, by the name of Samuel. Old Samuel's got a testimony. 6 cubits in a span was great big old Goliath with his spear that weighed many shekels and like a weaver's beam. Oh, he had a title, the giant of the Philistines. David. Before that day was over, David had a testimony. You know what David's testimony was? David's testimony was everybody said he's too big to hit. David said he was too big to miss. Everybody says, we can't do anything about him. David says, the battle belongs to the Lord. David had a testimony. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Don't ever name one of your children Jezebel. They had titles. But Elijah against the prophets of Baal had a testimony. King Nebuchadnezzar had a title. But Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach, and I'm going to get in trouble for this one, Abednego, it's not Abednego, okay? They had a testimony. Oh, folks, the wise men had a title. One of the Herods by the name of Herod Antipas had a testimony. John the Baptist had a title. Herod Antipas had a title. John the Baptist had a testimony. Annas and Caiaphas had titles. High priest, former high priest. Had Peter and John standing right before them after the resurrection going, you will quit talking about this Christ risen. Peter stood up and said, do to us what you will. But we got a testimony. We've seen the risen Lord. King Agrippa and Caesar, oh, they had titles. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a testimony. Pontius Pilate had a title. But my Jesus had a testimony. Being successful and wealthy and all those things is not a bad thing. Jesus does say later in the passage, the first one in Luke 18, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into heaven. But there are a lot of them there. I know some of them. I know wealthy people, but I want to ask you. It's not whether you're wealthy or not. It's not whether you're poor or not. It's what you do with what God has given you. And He has given you the opportunity in this world to have a title or a testimony. You say, well, can you have both? Listen, if you got titles, that's usually what you care about. If you got a testimony, you don't care about titles anymore. Donald Trump got it all, apparently. Howard Hughes in my day was the richest man on earth. Donald Trump, and now we got young Mr. Zuckerberg. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you on Facebook? You made Steven Zuckerberg rich. They all have titles. But Truett Cathy. Anybody know who Truett Cathy is? Truett Cathy. Oh, you ought to know who he is. Because he makes a chicken sandwich. I mean, look at my wife when I say this. She's shaking her head no. That is so good that if you put it up on top of your head, your tongue will beat your brains out. Truett Cathy
is the founder of a place called Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy, when he started his business, was told being closed on Sunday will bankrupt you. You'll never make it. Truett Cathy, until he went to be with the Lord, was a devoted, devout, wealthy, wealthy believer. And I want to tell you that most folks don't know, they know about Chick-fil-A, but I'm going to tell you folks that Truett Cathy's life touched. Talk not about the sandwich and how good it is, or isn't, but they talk about how Truett Cathy had the courage to let his workers be home on Sunday. How Truett Cathy said, "I will honor the Lord in all I do." Truett Cathy had a testimony. I've had the opportunity over 30 years to do a lot of funerals, to attend a lot of funerals, some of them for some mighty important people, and to read their obituaries. But I want to tell you about a funeral that impacted me shortly after I left the first church I was in after leaving seminary. I was there 2 years. I was down in the country in a place called Wade, North Carolina. If you've ever been down by 95, you've been by Wade. Don't stop. There are more gnats per square inch in Wade, North Carolina. The biblical plague is in Wade, North Carolina. Folks, I made it 2 years. I, honest to God, I've got to say this because it's just the truth. I would preach, swat at gnats, and spit. And I mean, I'm spitting because I'm trying to get the gnats out from choking. So I made it 2 years. Every Sunday at the invitation time, which we're getting ready to have, every Sunday, a fella, old farmhand, by the name of Mr. Clarence. Mr. Clarence, like some of you, didn't have a whole lot of hair. Mr. Clarence looked like the image of Dumbo. Listen, if he could have wiggled those ears, he could have levitated, folks. Weathered and old and in his best, but dressing in the 80s with clothes that came from the 50s. Every Sunday on the third verse of the invitation, Mr. Clarence would step out from right over here at Center Baptist Church, and he'd come down and take the pastor's hand. Now, there's a little bit of humor in this. One of the days I was meeting with some of the senior ladies, and one of the ladies said to me, she said, "You know, I shouldn't ask this." Now, when you tell a preacher you shouldn't ask this, you probably shouldn't ask it, okay? She said, "Well, what does Mr. Clarence come down every Sunday and talk to you about?" And I, listen, the devil just gave me an opportunity. I can't limit you when I do this, because it makes me sad. I wanted to say, "Well, he's been lusting after you for years," but I couldn't. Third verse starts, Clarence sees that we never stopped it early. Somebody said, "Stop!" I said, "Neil, come anyway." Mr. Clarence would come down and he'd take my hand. And he said, "Preacher, I'm so blessed." Folks, he didn't have a home. He lived with other people. He said, "I'm so blessed of God to have what I have." And he said, "I want you to join me today in praying for all these people behind me." He said, "I love them all, and some of them don't know the Lord." Every Sunday, just like clockwork. I left there and went to another church, and I heard of Clarence Eason's passing. I said, "Well, you know, they won't know. Nobody didn't have any family. Nobody will really know if I'm there or not." But something in my spirit said, "Go." I drove back to my former congregation, and I got there, and I went, "Wow, what's going on?" Folks, there were cars parked on the grass in the parsonage front yard. I'd never seen so many cars in my life. I thought, man, maybe the wrong person died. What's going on here? I try to get in, and I have to stand in the back. And I listen to the pastor talking about Clarence East. We left there and we went to the cemetery, and a bunch of us stood around and greeted each other again, as pastor and people do. And then we spent the rest of our time talking about how Clarence had touched our lives for Jesus Christ. And folks, I was amazed.
people of great stature wanted to offer a testimony about Brother Clarence. One of these days, they're going to lower your body in the grave. They're going to get back in their car, in the funeral car, and they're going to go home and they're going to eat pecan pie and fried chicken and potato salad. Are they going to mourn the fact that they can't remember what your titles that you earned were? Are they going to sit around and say, man, what a testimony. Not known here on earth is Clarence Easton. But I guarantee you this, that when Clarence Easton drew his last breath and when we stood around that grave of that man who didn't have much of anything and we talked about how he had touched us for Christ, all of heaven grew silent. One of these days, like Kendra sang, we're going to leave this old world. When the Lord meets you, are you going to try to impress Him with all your earthly titles? Or is your testimony going before you? And are they going to be waiting there at the gate, all of those people that you touched, and saying, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, it is so easy in our day to want, all of us want to be loved, all of us want to be recognized. It's easy in our day to chase the wrong things, but Lord, I pray that when I'm home, the folks won't stand around and talk about how much he loved Carolina or all the degrees he had and all of this he did. But they'll just turn around and say, I know Dana loved his family. I know he loved the Lord. I don't remember anything about his titles, but I thank God for his testimony. Now I hope you can insert your name there. And though I'm not anxious for any of you to go, with our time here, we may have to say goodbye to some of you, or maybe to me. You never know. But Lord, I just pray that when we do stand around, we'll talk about how we impacted each other for the kingdom. Because earthly titles pass away. Testimonies keep on giving. Amen. As we come in our time of invitation, I want to ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have a testimony if you don't. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having earthly titles. It's what you do with them. If you were to ask Truett Cathy what he was proudest of, he would tell you, I'm proudest of my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of everything else I did, not all the money I have. As we come and we sing our hymn of invitation, if you've got a decision to make, I'll be down front. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This is as good a one as I know. I'll be down here if you need me to pray with you. Or maybe you want to come and tie a knot and pray for one of these folks. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, I don't have a lot, but I pray that I have a testimony. I pray, Lord, that my life in some little way has impacted somebody else for you. And if you have, you've done a good thing. Either way, the song says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Let Him just love on you a little bit. Let's stand together.
Thank you.
play, if you will. And just let the Lord love on you. He wants to love on you. You may say, I don't have much of a testimony. That doesn't matter. You start with today. It's not how much testimony you got. It's not whether you touch thousands, but you just touch somebody. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Whatever it is, just let Him love on you a little bit. Chairman of the deacons come down here, if you will, because I can't do this. It's usually the preacher's job to do this, but I can't do this, and he may not know everything about how to do it. Rose and I give you our ministry, we give you our money, and we thought, well, it's time we gave you our presence fully. We want to come and be a part of your fellowship. And you say, well, you're the interim pastor. Yes, I am, and one of these days the Lord may grab me up and take me somewhere else, or grab you up and take you somewhere else. But until then, at least I look back on it and say that the people with Holloway's put up with Rose, and she brought Dana along. We come today. I just wanted to give in. We're asking to be a part of your fellowship. Our membership will be transferred from the Carolina Memorial Baptist Church in Thomasville, where I served as pastor. And we're here as long as the Lord, it's not as long as you want us, because you might not want us a whole lot longer. As long as the Lord wants us here, we'll try to be here. Amen. Now, he's got, I think, called for a vote. I think you do that, but I want to warn them.
Let me go up here for an
answer. Okay, I want to warn them. Any of you vote, no, this business meeting is going to be a long one.
Okay, let me just say that we're proud to have you. This is I'm going to do both of them together. Is that okay? Instead of voting separate. We got Rose S. Slack. We're glad to have you. We got Dana Slack. We're glad to have you. At this time, I'll just ask for a motion that we accept them as members of our church.
I make the motion.
Second? Okay. Motion made and second. All in favor, please raise your hand and keep them up. There you go. Do you see anybody voting now? Does anybody want to vote no?
He voted no.
Okay, let me just say we're glad to have them, and I appreciate what you do, and we love you to death. So.
Thank you. We're glad to have you. We're going to pray. We're going to close our service. We'll be at the back. If you're here and you need to go, we have a time of business. And you can slip out, and we'll greet you that way. And see you tonight, if you're able to be here, 5 o'clock, DBS. And that is so important. So let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we're working on a testimony and not on titles. Bless us as we go. Amen.